All right. God has given us this great task, and every generation continues that task. And that is this: to fill the earth with His glory. You know, and starting way back in Genesis, we're in our second part of this series on fill the earth. And anytime Scripture talks about filling something, that means there's an empty place there. Something isn't quite to capacity. It's not the way it should be. So He said this needs to take place when He made Adam and Eve. He said, you guys go and fill the earth. In Habakkuk 2:14, He says, fill the earth with the glory of God, with the knowledge of the glory of God. Every generation is taxed with being representatives of God to fill those around our world. And you know, oftentimes Scripture says world, and I've shared this with you guys before, and we tend to think world means this big thing out there, world. Listen, it's your world. It's the world you live in. If you live in a home, fill that home with the knowledge of God. Not just knowledge, but the life of the glory of God where it manifests through you. Glory of God is an advertisement. So to tell somebody something is one thing. To advertise it, it means it comes from you. He says, do that. And then expand out from there to your place of employment, to where you do life. That's how you affect the world. You and I are not going to affect the politics in anywhere. Some of us may be called to be involved in that at some level, but for most of us, we're going to fill the world we have or not. So what does fill mean? It means add value. We are to be value adders everywhere we go. We are to make it better. Because if I don't make it better, I'm of no value. If I go to work and I do the bare minimum to get pay, and I do just enough to what I'm compensated for, I don't add any value. You can get anybody to do that. When I add value, that's what changes things. And we have been called to add value in everything we do. So we are not accidents, we are here by design. And we are designed to improve the world around us. And you know what happens when you improve the world around you? Your life improves. Because there is a spiritual principle that always works. It's the way everything works, and it's according to this principle that we are given in Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. It's reciprocal. But this is the thing. You can only give what you possess. So God has to first give to you. He adds value to you. And then He says, you are to add value out of that in every area that I've added value to you. And then I will fill it again. It's a principle that God has designed everywhere in the world. In fact, He goes on to say this, Jesus, a good measure. So measure of value. If I give a little, principally speaking, I will receive a little. If I do the bare minimum, I receive the bare minimum. It's a principle of life. He says, listen, a good measure, if you give a good, what does good mean? It means to add value. If I do good, add value, it will be returned to me. Pressed down, a good measure, overflowing. It's a principle of God. And it works in everything. But I need to make sure you understand this. You can't give anything you do not possess. And you know what the most valuable thing you possess is? Time. How many of us want to do something? I got the time. Got no time. I'd love to do that, but got no time. You don't get more time. Nobody gets more time. They didn't say, Joe, we understand your time conflict up here in heaven. And for you, big buddy, you get 27 hours a day. Not like the other people that don't know how to manage their 24. We're going to give you more. You don't. So what you get to do is manage that. And if you give of that, guess what God gives you? Time! Some of us, it's the last thing we give to God besides our wallet, is our time. No, we're going to keep our time. You give that to God, He returns that back to you. You will find that you have more. You will find that God wants you to play and have fun. You will find that God, you will do more in less time than you used to do when you spent all your time doing it. Can anybody vouch to that? That's the way it works. It's a principle. Let me give you an example of the principle in action. Breathe in. Everybody breathe in. Hold it. Now, when you breathe in, hold it. Go ahead and breathe out. You received and you just gave. When you breathe in, you receive oxygen. Your body takes in the oxygen. It uses the oxygen. All animal and humankind need oxygen. We take out of the atmosphere oxygen and then our body does what it needs to do to it. Then we outgas carbon dioxide. All plant life breathes in carbon dioxide, receives, and gives. Your heart pumps. Everything God has designed with life in it has a give and receive cycle. In fact, your body can do better with less oxygen. You can live on less oxygen. That's why we can go to the mountains or go to high elevations where there's less oxygen and our body acclimates to it. You cannot go to a place that has greater carbon dioxide and acclimate to it. What you do is you acclimate to death. That's why Paul says it's better to receive, to give than to receive. And God created that in our lives. Your body, when it's exercising, has to give more blood. In fact, if you're bleeding and losing what you have in you, you can survive, depending where you cut, for lengths of time. We can live with less given to us than we can with less given out of us. It's a reciprocal deal. It's the way life works. If you don't get anything today, get that. Because we have oftentimes the mindset that if I give, somehow I'm losing. So I'm only going to give a little bit. I'll tell you what, 50-50, losing proposition. I want a good marriage, but I don't want to give. So you want to receive a good marriage. Breathe it in. But I don't want to give a good marriage. Guess what happens? You get gassed up. And you die. Or in this case, it dies. It's impossible. It's a receive, give. Give, receive principle. Listen. Jesus said this to his disciples in Matthew 13:10. Jesus had been talking to his disciples and he'd been sharing stuff with them and the crowd. And at some point, he switched the way he talked to them. And he started to talk in what we would call parables. He started to talk in story form, but the meaning wasn't real clear of what he was trying to get at. So his disciples called him on it. In Matthew 13:10, the disciples came to him and asked, "Hey, Jesus, why do you speak to people in parables?" He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but not to them. He says, listen, you can understand what I'm talking about. It's because you've received it. He says, but those out there, they won't receive it. So there's nothing more I can give them. There has to be a receptivity. How many of you know? I don't want God to touch that area of my life. I don't want to receive that from God. And so what happens? You don't get it. And therefore, we can't give it. Some of you in here, you can't forgive yourselves. I can't forgive myself for what I've done. You know what you're going to do? You're going to not forgive others. You can't give what you don't receive. You can't do it. It's impossible. I want to be loved, but I don't want to give love. Well, then you're not going to be loved. I want to be joyful, but all I give is anger. Anybody ever be around people like that? They're fun. I want forgiveness, but I'm not giving it. So he says this. He says, whoever has will be given more. Whoever has received will be given more, and they will have an abundance. It will flow out of them. They will give it. Whoever has, you got to use it. And he says, whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. He says, listen, if I give you something and you use it, I'll give you more. If I give you, say, a knowledge that, you know what? How many of us in relationships know we have knowledge of what we should do, but nah, I ain't gonna do it. He says, if I've given you something and you won't use it, guess what? That what I've given you will be taken away. You won't use it, it'll die. Can I get an amen on that or some feedback? Say it again, Joe. They need to hear it. If only so-and-so was here to hear this today, this would really minister to them. Listen, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. It will continue to manifest in their lives. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the person without the Spirit, the person who has not received the Spirit, does not accept what the Spirit has to say. They don't get it. It's foolishness to them, he says. The things that come from the Spirit of God, but they consider them foolishness, stupid. And they cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. You know, this is Pentecost Sunday. 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. This is when the Spirit was given to the church to serve. But you know, there are people even in our generation who, oh, we love Jesus, we like the Word, Spirit, I don't know, that's scary stuff, that's freaky. I don't want none of that. And guess what? You get none of it. So you can't discern what the Spirit's doing because it's spiritually discerned. There is something in the transference of those. I don't want to be doing that freaky thing. You're dealing with a supernatural God. Everything he does is freaky to us. If it wasn't, it would be called natural God. He only does things in the natural that we all know about. How many of us pray for people to be healed, but we don't really believe it? Dear God, heal them, you know, help God. Oh, if you got any time, if you can squeeze it in. I know you're busy up there, big guy upstairs. Big guy upstairs? When I pray, I'm praying to an all-powerful God. Sometimes I don't even know what to pray. I go, God, you know. You know, some of the most powerful prayers are short prayers. God, I don't know. You know. Help them, please. What else, you know? That's a good prayer right there. I don't know what I'm doing. I pray that one all the time. What I'm doing. Yeah. So how does this principle give and receive work? I'm going to give you guys six things today. We talked about two of them yesterday, but how does this work in real life? How do we add value? Because like I said, you want to add value to your life? Add value to others' lives. I was talking to one of the guys, was talking about preaching in this conference, and he said an amazing thing. He said there's two things that go into preaching, planning and preparation. He goes, planning is your life. Preparation is the few hours you spend working on a message. The real preparation for a message I give to you is in my life, in what I have walked and what I have experienced and what I have seen God do, and my 25 years of studying God's word and seeing different dynamics and different ways that God does things. That all gets put into a couple hour message or a preparation of a message. That's the easier part. That's why a preacher, if they ever listen, how many of you grandparents in here? But a preacher, when I listen, and I rarely do because I get sick to my stomach, when I listen to messages that I preach that somebody took on VHS in back in the day when that was still around, VHS is a tape system, you guys, some of you don't, you know, or cassette tapes, and I guess they're becoming popular again. Next thing we know, the people will be coming out, look at this vinyl record. It's like, that's all we had back in, but anyway. It makes me sick because it's like, oh my gosh, it's so super, I may as well have read it out of the latest commentary I looked at. It's just like, I was learning. How many of you here, like as a grandparent? I'm 1,000 times better as a parent. If I would have known then what I know now in parenting, I'd have been amazing. I didn't even know Joe for the first 15 years of raising children. How was I going to know them? I mean, this is one thing I learned. Professionals get coaching, amateurs learn by trial and error. I was an amateur, and I trialed and error, but, I tried to learn. Some of you in here now, we got any new parents? I know we got tons of little kids. They're up there. No, they're with the kids. Yeah. God bless them. Anyway, listen, here's the first principle. When you give, the kingdom of God gives back. We talked about it last week. In fact, if you didn't listen to last week's podcast, there was a bunch of stuff on there I'm not touching on today, but it sets the foundation for today. Get it or read it or download whatever. Look at it on the website or on your app. So when you give, the kingdom of God gives back. However, you must have received first in order to give. You cannot give what you do not possess. And the best thing you possess, and we're going to talk about it in one of the principles, is you. You're the greatest commodity you have. Second one, the business world gives back. People do business with and refer business to those they know, those they like, and those they trust. Why? Because they have experienced a person giving more to them than they expected or paid for. If you hire someone to do a job and they do more than you expected, and they were courteous and kind, and and they're cleaning up after themselves, and they're doing a great job, they added value. They did above and beyond. And the business world will compensate them. How? You will refer your friends to them. You will tell people they're great. You will tell people, this is a person you need to get. This person is mind-blowing. They were wonderful in what they did. But I'll tell you what, if you go into a job and you give the bare minimum, and every movement you make, they better pay for that. And you're looking, and you got all that kind of attitude. Guess what? They're going to tell their friends too. And you'll read about it on Yelp. The business world rewards adding value too. They will like you. You go above and beyond, they like you. They trust you. They refer to you. Huge. It's you bless their world, your world gets blessed. That's how it works always. I'll add value. And you can take that principle to any area of your life. You add value. You married and you add value to your spouse. You go above and beyond. And they feel valuable. What are they going to do? I like that person. I trust that person. I'm going to, this is a good thing. But when you're 50-50 here, we're nickel and diming each other. Tit for tat. It's all this. What kind of marriage are you going to have? Oh, you're going to have a tit for tat. We're judging each other. We're gambling with each other. This ain't fun. This is not fun. Friends, I mean, you just name any area of life. Same principle applies. In fact, Jeremiah 29 said this, when God's kids were dispersed and taken captive in other nations, he says, listen, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. You and I have been carried into this world in exile. This is not our home. So what you need to do in your world is seek the peace and prosperity of it. What does that simply mean? Add value. And then he says this, pray to the Lord for it. Why? That adds value. Don't bemoan. Be active about prayer. And seek to make it better. And then he says this, because if it prospers, what's the reciprocal? You too will prosper. You go into a place, you make it better. See, for many Christians, any place we go, we don't make it better. We condemn them all. We call them heathens, and you're going to hell for this. And you know what? They do not feel like we're making it better. Let's do it this way. Let me love them. Let me be the best employee. Let me be the best employer. And they will like me, begin to trust me. And when they're in trouble, they will come to me. Then I can share the news of what makes me different than everybody else in the world. If you get 10 people together that don't know the Lord and they're all complaining and whining about life and yada, 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 and you're the Christian in there and they wouldn't know it, that's a problem. You at least should have, at least don't join the gossip. Oh, you think that's bad? Listen to what I heard. And then I'm going to tell you about Jesus. They're going to look at you and go, yeah. Third one, adding value creates a platform for influence. You bless where you're at. What happens? You get a platform of influence. What we tend to do sometimes, and people do this, I want to have a platform of influence. I don't know you. I don't even care to know you, but I'm going to try to influence you now. I'm going to tell you what to do. I deal a lot with recovery, different areas of recovery. And it's, you know, oftentimes you get somebody with 6 days recovery and all of a sudden, oh, I know what everybody needs. Oh, I know how they need to do life. No, you don't know nothing. You know nothing. That's like the person that doesn't have a baby. You know, I'd like to discuss child raising with everyone today. If it's the person with a two-year-old, I want to discuss raising teenagers. Yeah, you once were a teenager. That's cool. You got some input. But I'll tell you what, you gain influence by what you do, not what you say. What you say follows what you do. So third one, adding value creates a platform of influence. And adding value by, it may seem foolish to you. I don't want to do that. That seems stupid if I go do that. You may not feel like it. You may not even like it. Do it anyway. If it's the right thing to do, do it. You know how many people shortchange themselves by, you know, I don't feel like doing the right thing. What's feelings got to do with it? Well, it's got everything to do with everything in my life. Because I feel like this, I feel like, you're going to feel like anything any time of the day. How many know that? Feelings, yeah, they're an indicator of stuff going on. They are not the director of your life. Feelings would be like a director going, stand over here. I'm in over there. Up there. Get over here. Run! Lay down! I said stand up. Feelings take you every which way based on what's happening. All right, number four. Well, let me tell you a little bit about gaining influence. I'll tell you a story about Teresa. About a couple weeks ago when I was doing some stuff, I came across on the computer a document from 2003, 14 years ago. And this document was something I read to the church, and we were in, we had been doing the church for about 7 years, started in 96, or I got there in 96, Teresa and I got there, and the church had been dying. I mean, we were troubled. And we had a budget, a monthly budget. I was looking at the numbers because I presented them to the church. About 10 grand a month cost us to run the church back in the day, 14 years ago. And we were bringing in roughly 7 grand. So I had laid off Therese because I was there working full-time and Therese was working part-time. And so we had to lay her off. And basically, I took a cut. Everything, we were doing whatever we could to stay, keep the church going. And, you know, it's really weird. Tree said it was really weird for her to be laid off and yet have to show up there 3 times a week. think about that. Who gets, you know, we're going to have to let you go, but you don't really go. We're just letting go of paying you. But this was the thing. We believed in the mission. We believed in the mission of building lives. We believed in what we do today. We believe that's what God called us to. And so we went above compensation. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if we were being compensated or not compensated. We were in it to win it, and we were in it to change lives. And if that's what part of the price was, that was part of the price we'd pay. And because we believed, God wanted to use us to help people change their lives. So, fast forwards 14 years to 2017, 2 weeks ago, and me looking at that season. And at the time, because anytime you're in a season, it's a great cost. It costs, you know, you're dealing with stuff that is costly. Emotionally, mentally, relationally, there's cost involved whenever there's change. But if we're to be value-adding agents, then the cost is okay because why? I'm giving more than I'm being compensated for, with the end result that I will be compensated. I don't know exactly how long, but looking at it that day, 2 weeks ago, 14 years, it's like that cost was well worth it. In fact, it's like Paul said, it's not even worth mentioning the suffering. Paul says this, the suffering I've endured for the glory that God was going to do, the value added that God did. It wasn't even the cost, not even worth mentioning. And that was the same way I felt. I was like, wow, 14 years later, if I'd have known, what more wouldn't I have given? What if I, you know, because I actually went to a part-time job. What more could we give? See, if we only could see in the situation we're in, however troubling or however, whatever it is, that I can, if I add value to it, the reciprocal reward to that is I will be better and it will grow and I will have influence. See, if we didn't do that, I wouldn't be talking to you today and I'd have no influence on people's lives. That's just the way it goes. But if I look at it now, it's like, oh, well worth it. I'm telling you, add value. What is adding value? Adding value is going beyond what you're compensated for. Because God says, I'll compensate you. We always go, can I get, you know, an IOU or something on that? He goes, oh, you don't worry about it. It will be pressed down. It will be more. I never thought we'd have 3 churches and getting ready to open another one. Never did that cross my mind. I used to pray to God, give me God. If I only had 250 people, I would be a good pastor. I wanted to add value to me, and I wanted you to do it. God said, oh, Joe, you of little Bible knowledge. of the ways I do things. Do I have to speak to you in parables? We got to swing you around, brother, and wake you up. Listen, fourth one, your compensation, number four. Your compensation is directly proportional to how many people you serve and how well you serve them. If you're married and you serve your spouse, your compensation in that's directly proportional. I don't serve her worth a darn. And guess what I get? I get no darn service. It's directly proportional to the number of people you minister to. Your compensation will be proportional. You add value to 100 people, 100 people will add value to you. You want to do something amazing, add value. It's huge. Jesus said this to his disciples. He said in Matthew 19, 28, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when everything's renewed, I looked at my life in 14-year increments and said, wow, God's really added things. Jesus said to his apostles, at the renewal, at the big end of the picture, however many centuries that is, he says this, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones. So we know he's talking to the apostles. Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone, us, who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much. And Mark tells us in this life and eternal life. He says, and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last. And many who are last will be first. That sounds kind of harsh. Here's what he's simply saying. Listen, people, if you're going to follow me, you got to go beyond your family. Family is important. But from God's perspective, given, that's a given. That's baseline. You are to take care of your family. But if that is the focus of your whole life, he goes, in the kingdom, there won't be a lot of reward for that. Why? Because you took care of your own. You're supposed to do that. See, for some of us that grew up in different types of family dynamics, taking care of your family now in our generation is leap years ahead of what you grew up in. Because I talk to people all the time that have horrific upbringings. But from a kingdom principle, God says, taking care of your family, baseline. In fact, it says a good man leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren. Baseline. Good man. Didn't even say a great man. He says a good man adds value to his grandchildren. But in the kingdom, why? Because God looks at it as we're all his family. He said, I'm going to meet all my kids' needs. And then if you guys all give, not only to the family, to the world, now you're about the Father's business. And I will reward that greatly. Because that's where it's going to cost you. Instead of watching every night television, you're out doing something one or two nights a week. That's a cost. I don't want to do that. Okay. There's a cost to that. See, there's a cost to do and a cost to don't. I'm telling you, get in the do boat and you will look back. That's why he says, the first, those who are all about taking care of them in the kingdom, they'll be in the kingdom. They'll just be the last. Amen, Joe, preach it. Number five, be authentic. There is no value added in fakeness. As Popeye said, that was a cartoon for some of us remember. I am what I am, and that's all that I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Be who you are. Authenticity means this. It means a union of speech and action. They're connected. That's what the world is looking for. Authentic. The most valuable gift, commodity, talent you have to give this world is you. You're the most important thing you can give this world. Talents, you can gain them. Skills, you can gain them. Education, you can gain it. There's only you. And this is the key. If I'm not sold on me, I can't give you me. That's why people are going, look at what I'm doing. Look what I did. They're hiding behind it. They're fake. You'll be okay if you do that. And if I do this, will you like me if I be a doormat? Because I have no value in me. So I need you. See, when I give, I don't care. You can't hurt me because I'm giving with no strings attached. See, strings attached, be authentic. If I'm hanging out with you because I know you got cash and I want to get some of that cash, but I'm going to pretend like I'm your friend. Hey, why don't you just be authentic? I could care less about you, but you got money and that's something I need. That's an authentic person. Because here's the thing with fakeness. People see through it after a while. I know people in church, the only times I ever see them is when they blew it now. Now they need. And I see them because they got a need. They never call me up. Joe, are there any needs I can help with? It's Joe, I need. I'm not complaining. I get it. It's my job. And I'm not complaining. I get it. Broken people do broken things. But God said, we are the real deal. He said, we're the salt of the earth. You are the most valuable thing God has for this earth. Because why? People are the most valuable thing God made. It's his highest creation, other people. We are to be thinking, but if I'm not sold on me, I will sell me. See, you know somebody's a real deal when their stuff, their titles, their things, they're behind them. Whatever. You know people are fake is when they present all their stuff in front of them. Look, I'm valuable. Look what I got. Look what I do. I got this title. I'm president of what? Myself, the world. Don't you know who I am? Do you know who you're talking to? Human being? I don't know. You look like a human to me. I don't care if you call me pastor. If you do, that's a sign of respect. I get it. That's cool. I've earned it. But if you call me Joe, that's cool. That's my name. If I present myself as this, this, and this, it's fake. Because if you know me, you know he's a dude. I had the greatest compliment the other day at the last Discover. One of the guys up there, he's lived with us. And I've known him for many years, and, you know, he's had his issues, and he's doing great and all that good stuff. And he goes, you know what? I just got to say that Joe and Therese, the people you see here are the people you see at their house. Except I'm not this. Something happens when I get up here. I get out. But normally, I'm more in. But he goes, you know, the people you see here, he goes, and the reason I know that is I lived with them. I lived in their house. I saw them do life outside of whatever you consider limelight. They go, they are who they are. I took that as the best compliment ever because that's authentic. I don't want to be, you don't have to clap. It's just, you know. But this is the thing. What do the people say who know you? Does your outside world mess with, you know, the best way I can know about you, who lives with you? Yeah, let me talk to them. This guy presents himself as, I don't know, fourth person in the Trinity. Is he like that at home? Is he that awesome? Are they that magnificent? Jesus said, listen, you want to be authentic? If you want to help somebody, you want to help the needy, don't let your right hand see what your left hand's doing. Then my Father who sees what is done in secret, he'll bless you. But if you want everybody to see your good deeds, That'll be your reward. They will. Do you want me to reciprocate the reward, or do you want people to? I want God, because people are fickle. I'll tell you this. People love me till they don't. Simple as that. But I don't care. I'm going to love them anyway. You can't use me. Why? Because I give it freely. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. If I see that you're a user, I'm not stupid. I get it. But that's the way we got to be. How many people have ever dealt with anybody and they got strings attached? I'll give you this. Here's the string. Don't go too far. It only winds out so far. Every time I see you. You know I gave you that $10, right? All right, just want to let you know. You know I gave you that thing. You should be giving me something back, you know. And that's fake. Because they present themselves as doing it for real, but it ain't. How many people will not go to somebody because you know they give you anything, you're going to pay way above board for it. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, but it's payday's coming. They're going to take it out. But if you don't, you give freely, it's done. So be authentic, you guys. You create the opportunity to give of the knowledge of God. You add value by being real. Huge value. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness in Matthew 5:13, how can it be made salt again? You know, salt is the mineral of life. You cannot live without salt. And salt is interesting. We're one of the few animals that sweat salt. How many have ever seen anybody that sweated salt? Might want to ease up on the Doritos. They got that big white, you know, thing when it's like. So what does that mean? That means we have to give and take salt. We give out salt and we take in salt. You know, Cincinnati and Detroit were founded on salt mines. Salt, the word salad comes from salt. The word salary comes from salt from the Roman times because that's what they used to pay the soldiers in, was salt. Salt is a life mineral. It also is a septic. Wherever you put salt, decay halts. Wherever you put salt on, that's why we put salt on stuff. Why? It enhances the flavor. Salt is the mineral of life. Jesus said, you guys are the salt of the earth. You're the mineral of life. Electrolytes, when someone's dehydrated, what do they give them? Electrolytes. You know what electrolytes is? Salt water. Ocean, made up of salt water, 3.5%. More than 3/4 of all living organisms live in the ocean, live in salt water. Salt is necessary. It's a life mineral. Jesus said, we're that. So, and he says, and salt's only good when you pour it out of the container, which leads us to the sixth and final one. You want to add value? You better be resilient. He said, listen, if you pour salt out and it's not salt, you've been duped. What did he say? It's of no value. It's only good to be thrown out. So you say in the jar you got Jesus. When you get poured out in the stuff of life, is that Jesus? Do they see Jesus then? So you have to be resilient. Mike Tyson, how many know who he is? He was, I shared it with a couple people before, but he's a world famous boxing champion, one of the greatest boxers ever. He was in a title match, and they had interviewed his opponent, and they were asking his opponent, you know, what are you going to do when you meet the champ? You know, he knocks out everybody in like 2 rounds. And this guy goes, I got a plan. They go over to Mike. Mike, your opponent over here says he's got a strategy and a plan to take you down. What do you think about that? And if you ever heard Mike speak, his voice does not match his body. He's got this squeaky high voice, and he goes, everybody's got a plan until you punch him in the face. That, my friends, is resilience. Everybody wants to box till they get punched in the face, till life hits you. till life sideswipes you. Then you know what's inside. Then you see what happens inside of you. Resilience is necessary. In Jeremiah 12:5, he's speaking to these people, and they're in trouble, and he goes, listen, if you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, if you can't handle life with other humans and you're all worn out, how do you expect to advance when you got to run with horses, when you got to pick up the pace? When life has handed you some trouble and you got to start kicking it in gear, you got to go to another level. That's resiliency. Why? Resiliency makes us consistent. We consistently handle life. You know what you get. You see the authentic person. There's nothing like a sideswipe or trouble to reveal the authentic person. When you get sideswiped and you can still put your left foot in front of your right and you keep moving in the pain, that adds value to everyone around you. When you collapse and fall apart like everyone in the world who has no hope, you add no value. You are salt. When you're poured out, you don't add any flavor. You're not aseptic at all. You don't stop decay. You're just part of it. You're just now added to the decay. You aren't a life-giving mineral. You're nothing of value, even though you're a child of God. God goes, well, how can I pour any more value in you when you don't give out the value you have? You are you. You're the value. That's the beautiful part of giving. You give of you. Your stuff, your time, your all that's behind you. Your planning, your experience in life is the most important commodity you can give anyone. It kills me when God's kids who have lived with God for years say, I don't have anything to give. I get, you don't maybe not have any prepared message, but you've got life under your belt. You're valuable. Amen? All right, let's stand up because we got to go. I'm going to blame you guys for being late because that's adding value to me and minimizing you. So it's kind of old behavior. Oh, Lord. Listen, I gave you guys some homework last week, and I'm going to give it to you again. Here's what you need to ask yourself this week. How can I find a way to serve more people? I serve more people, I get more service. I get compensated for that. How can I serve more people? How can I find a way to serve more people? Starting with the people around you. How can I serve them? You want to have something better in your life? You want to better your life? Better somebody else's. Simple. That's how it works. Then ask yourself even the better question. How can I exceed people's expectations this week? For some of us, that's just like showing up to work 10 minutes early. You'll be blowing the minds of people. How can I exceed their expectations this week? Why? Because you exceed their expectations, they bless you back. It's all reciprocal. It always is, and it's never not. Everybody get that? Can you say that? It always is. And it's not a double negative, never not. Which is totally improper English. But the point is made. And then you need to look at your own life in that. How can I exceed my own expectations of my life? Because you know what? A lot of us keep ourselves under a lid. Oh, I'd like to do this, but I'm not sold on me. I'm not sold on me, so I can't go very far. Because all you ever really have is you. I wish everybody in here would walk around going, I can. I can do more than this. I can become more than a victim. I can become a conqueror. I read it enough. I can accomplish. Oh, it's going to take work and it's going to cost. That's okay. I can do it. Be sold on yourself. Amen, Joe. All right, let's pray. Dear God, pray with me. Dear God, help me. Amen. All right, God bless you guys.